All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's art chat. Are you ready for gallery representation? Linda Fissler is your host, and we welcome Doug Isley with us today. And my name is Sarah Alspaugh. I'm the online education manager here in the fine art department at FNW. And I just want to thank everyone for joining us. We are recording today's art chat, so if you know somebody who wasn't able to make it, feel free to share this with them after today's session. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn things over to you, Linda. If any of our listeners have questions, just type them into the questions section of your GoToWebinar control panel, and I'll relay those to Linda and Doug for you. So, welcome, guys. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Sarah. Hi, Doug. How you
Thanks,
doing?
Sarah. I'm glad to be here. I'm good, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Just as a real quick before we get started, I wanted to let everyone know. I think on the last program, it seems like forever since we've done this, but it's only been like 4 weeks. But on the last show, I think we talked a little bit about a new course that I'm writing for Artist Network University, where I teach, and it's going to be about taking your paintings from brush to palette knife. We finished all the videos, Sarah. We finished all the videos. So I just need to edit those. And then also I'm writing
Yay.
a little hand, yeah, handbook, guidebook that kind of goes with it. So that work is coming along. In addition to that, my book launch is going on for my fiction book, and things are just kind of really crazy right now. So I'm going to take off my writing hat, and I'm going to put on my art show talk hat and get going with Doug here. I think this is a really important topic. Are we ready for gallery representation? And it's a question that I get asked a lot of times is, how do I get into a gallery? What do I need to do? And I think there's so much that we need to know about this process that I asked Doug to join us. Doug actually represents me in his gallery, and I think it's always an ongoing and learning process because I think all galleries are probably handled a little bit differently, and I think Doug can probably talk a little bit to that because he's, very well respected and very well known in the Cincinnati area and beyond for his gallery. And also, we had Doug on a couple months ago, and Doug talked to us about restoration and conservation, and that's another part of his business that he does out of his shop, if you will, down in Cincinnati. So, Doug, let's take a few minutes first and talk about the types of galleries there are and provide some information about them. So, start with why it's important we know the different types, because I think that goes to how we approach them.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me again. I very much enjoy being part of these webinars. I think with respect to the different types of gallery, I mean, many galleries specialize in specific types of art. My gallery, for example, specializes in traditional 19th and early 20th century American paintings. So with respect to, why it's important for an artist to know different types of galleries, when they're seeking representation, they need to know, I guess, what the galleries specialize in and what types of collectors that they draw. In light of our specialty, for example, collectors, therefore, they wouldn't visit us if they're looking for contemporary works or sculpture, because we're not known for that, and that's not something that, we have a great deal of experience with.
Yeah, so as part of that, getting to know the gallery is you have to understand, first of all, what you're painting, what style you're painting in, and then go and look for galleries that are in that same type and then start to approach them. Is that
Correct.
okay? Cool. So talk to us a little bit about Isley Gallery of Fine Art and the artist you represent. Describe what caught your attention. I know that there's a relationship between you and John Stobart, for example, and John Ruthven, I believe,
Correct.
is also there. So those are some of the big names that you have, but you also have a lot of local artists as well. So just talk a little bit about about them and
Okay.
how they may have approached you.
Well, our gallery, like I said, our gallery is nearly 30 years old. I bought the gallery about 9 years ago from Pat and Chuck Weiner. It was located in Montgomery, and then it's since been renamed and moved into our historic building in Fairfax. And our primary focus, like I said, is 19th and early 20th century American paintings. But we also carry works by many European artists and of different periods, some earlier and some more modern. We have developed relationships with nearly 50 living artists, some names that are widely recognized within the art world on a national and international level, as well as just some other local and regional living artists. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency to work with artists whose works, with living artists whose works sort of complement the 19th and 20th century paintings. We feel that it works, they work well together. We've also received lots of feedback and comments from the artists, the living artists that we represent, and oftentimes how honored they are to have their paintings and their works hanging next to some of the noted deceased artists of the past. So, it's a synergy, and we try and, like I said, try and mix the artist whose works complement the antique paintings.
Yeah, it really is an honor to be hanging next to some of the really 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 well known artists that paint in that style, because it's a great validation for an artist. So
a few years ago we actually separated the two for about a year. And we saw an impact, negative impact on sales, as well as just the overall reaction and the feeling with our living artists. I had several of them come to me and tell me how much they missed that and missed having their works hanging with the period pieces. So we decided to put everything back the way that it was, and we've certainly seen a positive response from that. So.
Oh, great. So let's kind of walk through, if we can, the process of artists who want to seek gallery representation and how they might go about that. And let's talk a little bit about how we kind of talk to one another, because I think that's one thing. You probably don't even remember this, but back when Margaret was working with you and we were in Montgomery, I actually made an appointment with Margaret. Right pretty much after I left Procter & Gamble and brought some paintings down and had a session with Margaret. So I didn't even at that point, I'd never met you. And I stayed in touch with Margaret over the years, and she watched my painting grow. And then I actually met you again, for the first time, when we brought a painting down. It was more Baroque classical realism style for you to restore. And then just about 4 or 5 months ago, we got together again and talked about you representing me in the gallery. So there was a little bit of, I didn't walk in the door and just say, hey, here's my paintings, Doug, take me on. There was, there was this nice relationship that had been growing over a number of years. And someone in your gallery, if not you personally, are watching the local artists or any artist actually, not just local ones, and seeing if there's a fit. Is that's pretty typical, correct?
It is. I think it's very common. As with any sort of business partnerships, it's all about relationship. I think for artists that are trying to figure out, to get back to your original question about, artist, that wants to seek representation, what do they consider? I think it's important, first and foremost, that artists need to have an understanding of the business of selling art. They need to know about all the dynamics that go in, to running a gallery, and understand how it's all structured in terms of consignments versus cash sales. And pricing and all the logistics that are involved in a gallery. And then they need to understand what a good gallery does, to earn the right to show their work, as well as, to make sales for them. you know, galleries are very similar to museums from an artist standpoint. You know, once they find and connect with a good one, it makes it easier down the road to work with subsequent galleries once they start to develop that sort of resume of representation. You know, and I think artists need to be careful, and they need to be mindful where they display their works. If an artist is interested in ultimately showing their work in a more prominent gallery, I think it's important that they shy away from showing their work in coffee shops and restaurants and getting involved in too many group shows to where they've just sort of overexposed their work and saturated a market with their work. Is certainly going to impede the efforts on the part of the gallery. I think it's important that an artist develop themselves before they approach a gallery. And I think you know, they need to develop their resume. They need to work on it and grow it constantly. They can use social media, Facebook and other social medias to help create more awareness of them and to develop a name. And then as they get into galleries, it's important to grow that through their website and social media pages to help promote the galleries that represent them. You know, it's important that they try and get published and get recognized and get as, you know, as much media coverage as they can with respect to their work. All those things are things that galleries look at when they consider taking on a new artist. For me, ultimately, first and foremost, it gets down to the quality of their work. You know, I mean, you know, the work speaks for itself in most cases, and then it's meeting and getting to know and understand the artist and you know what has motivated them to do the work and why they do the work that they do and how they conduct themselves and you know, all the things that one would typically think would be important in almost any kind of an interview, you know, when you're sizing each other up. So all those things are important.
Right, and that was really kind of interesting because I always try to throw out some examples, and typically I'm the one that I throw under the train track, if you will.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I first went to Margaret, you know, we're talking probably 10, 15 years ago, you know, my work was nowhere near ready to be shown in a gallery like that. But what was really helpful was hearing Margaret's suggestion of where I should be pacing my attention to get better. And she did it in a very professional way. You know, it wasn't, you know, one of these really negative critiques or anything like that. It was like, you know, yeah, there's potential here. Here's where I need you to start working and start focusing on and, you know, find a mentor. And it was really, really good advice. So regardless of where you are in your art process, just having that, you know, someone who's very knowledgeable in the art world and what collectors are looking for, just to have that kind of conversation. And again, I didn't just show up. I called Isley ahead of time and said, you know, I'd like to set up some time with you. And of course, Margaret talked with me, and we set up time with her. And at that point, I was not known. I mean, nobody knew my name. So it was just gracious that Margaret even took on an hour's worth of time to go through some paintings with me. And you know, that really opened my eyes to, okay, maybe I'm not ready to be out there yet. And start focusing on studying and making my artwork better. And so, again, I guess, you know, I'm kind of answering, I guess, the next question that we had on the page, which is, if you're a beginner and emerging artist, what are some of the things that you should be doing? And I think you kind of covered that as well, as far as, you know, it's okay to be out on Facebook and things like that. But I also want to caution people about especially beginners, about getting out there too early.
Right.
Do you have any advice that would help besides what I just said?
My first thought to that question is specific to the artist's work. I mean, you know, it's important not to present your work until it's ready. You know,
right.
You only have one first impression. and it's important to make that count. So, you know, if you don't feel that your work is ready, then don't show it. And then I think it's important to know, you know, where to get started showing your work. There are photo fairs, portfolio reviews, group shows, mm-hmm. alternate gallery spaces, areas where you can get advice and get opinions and critiques from other people with your work to know when it is ready.
Right, and I guess, you know, being accepted into shows isn't necessarily, depending on the show.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you're in a big, huge show with thousands upon thousands of entries and you happen to make it through and into the show and or even place, that's a different experience than always kind of being in smaller shows, local shows. There's definitely a step stair, if you will, or as your work gets better, you're going to start getting accepted into the bigger and more known shows.
Right.
So that's something, like you said, for a resume. I'm sure that's something that you look at too. What shows have people been in, and how are they doing? And of course, that's always a risk, I guess, because like I typically don't compete because I don't like to compete. So mm-hmm. yeah. I'm different in that way. There are some shows that I do enter, but I usually don't enter very much of them. And one of the reasons why I did that was because, you know, after talking with Margaret and others, you know, I realized that I was just kind of throwing money away. So,
yeah.
Until my artwork's good enough, I'm not going to try to put it in there. So, yeah. that's one thing as well. Any other? I kind of jumped in on you.
No, not really. I mean, I think that really answers that question. Those are all good things to consider.
Right. And I also want to tell our listeners that if you have any questions, we'll get to those, but please start typing those in so Sarah can start looking them over and kind of seeing if we end up using them or answering them in a different way as we go through our questions here. But I just wanted to let you guys know out there that you're more than welcome to start typing in your questions now. I'm sure folks are sitting out there and saying, you know, how do I know when I'm ready? You keep saying, you know, I'll know when I'm ready. Is there some kind of magic moment when an artist knows that they're ready to do that? Have you seen any kind of consistency about that, Doug, when you've looked over artists' work?
No, not really. I mean, I guess, you know, in response to that, I mean, I guess would be that, you know, it's when an artist feels good enough about their work that they're ready to show it to the world. I think each individual knows, you know, they know when their work is where they want it to be, and they're ready to present it. And I think it's important not to jump the gun and not to do that until you're at that point. You know, obviously we see it, especially even with the antique paintings, but we've seen it, but with a lot of our living artists, you know, we clearly see them develop and see their work mature and better itself over the years. I think that's just part of the process.
Right.
And with the antique paintings, we look to see that as well. There are certain periods and certain levels of work and subjects and all those different things that collectors look for. And all those things, ultimately, with the period paintings, dictate price. All those things have an impact on the sales price and the desirability of a piece. So, The artist knows when they are at that point that, okay, this is finished and this is what I want to show people about what I'm able to do.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, for me, it really became, I guess you could say doors or whatever, opened up when I started realizing that I went from brush to palette knife, and you've seen my work, Doug, and you were mm-hmm. surprised that it was actually palette knife work because it doesn't right. look like palette knife work. I started to think about everything that I had listened to on the show when I'm interviewing artists and my mentors, and I kind of had a little twist with the palette knife, and that being that, you know, there's no reason I should abandon and I'm going to use the term rules, but and put quotations around it, that, you know, they apply whether what instrument, what tool you're using. We should be using all of the tools that we have in front of us to do this. So, but at that point, when I like took charge and took control of my style and in my voice, then I began to notice how certain things started opening up. And, you know, we had a conversation about our art when we were down there, and I guess I just remember the surprised look on your face when you were holding one of my work, and I said, "That's all palette knife," and you were like, "What?"
Yeah, I was. I recall that.
Yeah, and that was like my Mas de Flore painting, which was my most recent painting, when that was a little while ago. But yeah, so and that actual reaction by Doug told me that was it, that I had found my style and my voice. And you know, from that point, it's like I've never looked back. It's I've been very comfortable with using that, and so there is a level of confidence that goes with that. But it's also, you know, just really feeling like you know what you're doing is probably the easiest way to say it. And I don't think that Doug has probably run across anyone who had confidence issues.
No, not many.
Yeah, so you know, it's. When you really, really have taken control of that, you'll know it. You will know it. And if you're still questioning yourself, you're probably not quite there yet, is probably how I would say it. I don't know if you agree with that, Doug.
I do. I agree completely.
Okay. So that basically, we've been talking about, you know, starting out and beginners and being there and being ready and all that. So now let's go and switch into a little bit and talk about developing that relationship with artists, with the artist, and with the gallery, and I guess, you know, everybody's going to be looking for advice on how to do it, but just let's start out with just some simple advice, real quick advice, and then we'll go into some of the expectations the artist should have of the gallery and vice versa. So
okay, all right. Well, I guess first and foremost, I think it's important for an artist to be careful how they interact with galleries up front. Again, it goes back to first impressions. There's going to be a first impression of their work, but there's also going to be a first impression of the artist themselves. You know, their professionalism, their mannerisms, the way that they conduct themselves. One real bit of advice would be to try not to waste the gallery's time. Artists as well as collectors and gallery staff love to talk about the art. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we've had artists that have come in to just show us one painting and they'll spend hours and just talking on, you know, it certainly we want to hear them out and we want to see their work and we want to know, but, you know, that's also time that we need to be utilizing in other areas too. So, but, you know, before they go in, prepare themselves. You know, study the galleries that they're considering carefully. Study the type of work that the gallery sells. And if it's not a good fit, don't spend the time. Don't waste your time or the gallery staff's time looking at possibilities. I think before you approach it, like I said before, it's important to, you know, demonstrate to the gallery that you've been doing some self-promotion. You also want to talk about your interest and your willingness to help promote the gallery themselves, that if they take you on. You know, that can be done through a lot of different media, internet, postcards, emails, catalogs, and bios, and information that they can bring along when they first meet the gallery to show their marketability as well as their work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you finally do get in the door, it's conduct yourself in a professional manner. I mean, I think this is very important. And, you know, how you interact with art dealers in public, you know, in their galleries, talk about, you know, how you are during receptions and art fairs. I just think that's all extremely important, and it reflects back to first impressions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to listen to the gallery staff. I mean, just what you described happened to you and your experience with Margaret years ago,
mm-hmm.
at our other location. It is you know, there, it is a process. And in some cases, you know, you can walk away with information that's valuable and may help you either then or in the future. And then I guess ultimately after you've met with the gallery and they've looked at your work, you've presented yourself and as in your portfolio, it's important to follow up. You know, I think too many artists think that that they can be, you know, irresponsible with some of that, and you know, and I guess in some cases it's okay, but it doesn't always work anymore. I think it's important to follow up. You don't want to be a pest, but you also have to show your that you truly are interested and that you want to help develop a partnership with that gallery and you want to work together. And that it's more than you just dropping off some paintings and letting them do their thing. That it, you know, it is important to work together. So.
Right. And then I think that takes us a little bit into expectations that the artist has of the gallery and the gallery has of the artist. You know, certainly there's probably a little bit of a misconception that, okay, I'm in a gallery from the artist side. Okay, I'm in a gallery. I'm going to sell, and I'm going to sell like tomorrow or right. next week or the month after. No, that doesn't necessarily happen. Sometimes it happens, and that's great when it does, but that's not necessarily how it happens.
Right.
You know, it's – I guess there's a lot of work, a lot of expectations, and I think part of that meeting when you're – talking to the gallery representative or the gallery owner, that you know there is a conversation around expectations and what'll be done, how it'll be handled, things like that.
Right. Yeah, there should be a very clear understanding between both parties of all expectations. You know, who will be responsible for what. Just as mm-hmm. you would have with any business deal or partnership. So, you know, I think it is important to really sit down and talk through any of those issues and clarify who's going to do what. So
from the gallery side, Doug, what are some of the typical things that you expect from the artist?
We expect that they will continue to produce and grow their work, obviously to provide us with new and exciting and fresh examples of their work. We expect that they will do whatever they can to help, you know, present themselves in a professional way, both, you know, inside and outside of the gallery, because a lot of it goes back to their overall reputation, and that reflects back on the gallery that they represent. We've also seen in recent years that those artists that get involved in the partnership and help us to market their work have a much more success in selling their work. You know, and again, I think it's sort of an ongoing partnership of working together rather than just dropping off, you know, a dozen paintings and let the artist just do their thing. So, you know, I think that's just all part of moving things forward and continuing to move things forward.
Right. And I guess an artist's expectations, I want to encourage our listeners that if they have any ideas around or any questions around what are reasonable expectations for the artist, please type them in and we can ask that question as well. Basically, like I said, there's been a bit of a relationship between Doug Isley and myself through the years. So, you know, one of the conversations that, you know, to put it, you know, you were asking about my art chats when we were sitting there talking and, you know, possible ways that we could, you know, use each other's knowledge to help with both the gallery and with also spreading news, you know, out to other artists and listeners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but that was a really great discussion because it's ways that I could help as an artist as a podcaster, that I could help the gallery get more exposure and, you know, you are a busy man, so this isn't something that, you know, you would want to do if it doesn't give you something in return, if you will.
Right.
Because you are a busy man. I mean, like, if you get 20 minutes of Doug, if you get 20 minutes of Doug's time, it's really, really cool. You know, so, and I'm not saying that Doug isn't available to talk to his artists, because you are very accessible. It's just that we know how busy you are as a group, and we come right to the point when we talk to Doug, because he is very, very busy with things, but he always has times for his artists that he represents. I want to make that clear too. So again, the conversation that we had when I came into your gallery was a great conversation, because I was more than willing to help Isley, the gallery itself, because in the long run, that's going to help me. And Doug was very, you know, willing to help me, because I was very willing to help the gallery. So you can't just go in, hand them the artwork, and then say, okay, I expect to see a check in a month,
right,
without you coming back and being on board with them. And the more that you get involved with the gallery, the better. And what I mean by that is, I mean in a business way, you know, offering to do certain things like demos or talks, or, you know, don't ever hesitate, for example, to come back when you have a nice grouping of paintings together and say, hey, is there some kind of special show that we could have? You know, maybe there's a group show that the gallery can do, you know, with the artists that are being represented. I would say, and I'm very much more outgoing than some folks, I don't think it's a problem, Doug, if your artist ever came to you and said, hey, we're thinking about doing this. You think you might want to have a show with us at the gallery. Is that correct?
We welcome any input that we get from our gallery, from our artists. I mean, who better? I mean, we've got this pool of creative minds and people that are able to think out of the box, and we welcome input from them with respect to their other relationships with other galleries, and their past experiences, or even current experience. We want to know from them what's working and what's not, and, you know, what do we need to do to change anything or improve or add to all the things that we're doing, you know, to try and grow our collector base and ultimately to sell more of their work. So we keep a very open mind and have, you know, very interested in feedback from all the artists that we represent and that we talk to on a regular basis. So, you know, I just think all that's very important.
Yeah, and you know, I can talk from one of my mentors who has been in a gallery relationship for a very, very long time, and you know, she lives in Santa Fe. And, you know, she wrote me a note one time, and she said, you know, I was really blown away. I just went into my gallery and said, I really like to do a one-person show here in your gallery. And I like to do it like during this time, and here's what I'm going to paint to meet that deadline. And, you know, they're excited about it. They really want to do it. So, you know, again, once you're in the gallery, don't have the expectation that the gallery is going to do everything and will be able to, you know, don't sit back and say, well, I'm going to wait for them to call me to see if they want me to be in a show. Don't do that. You know, go out and, you know, if you want to have a show at the gallery that you're represented in, say, hey, I have these paintings, these are the ones I'm working on, you know, I'm thinking this would be a great show theme, maybe we can pull in others, maybe you want it to be a one-man show, let's talk about what the opportunities are. So once you get in a gallery, your work isn't over, it's just starting. So, there's always been a misconception out there, Doug, as well, that any artist that comes in brings in to you a new list of collectors. And while that is helpful to you, that's not necessarily something that you tick off and say, yeah, she's got, you know, 100 collectors, therefore we'll bring her into the gallery. That's not one of the big things, is it? I know it's helpful to have that, but it's not a deciding factor.
No, and it's not, and it's usually not the case. You know,
okay.
I mean, I think it, you know, it's usually not the case. I think it goes without saying that, you know, the gallery becomes the artist's showcase. However, though, the more the artist does to participate in that effort, the greater potential there is for sales and marketability of the artist and their work. I mean, it's clearly a joint venture, and it requires input from both sides. Just like you said, your artist friend had walked into the gallery with the idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That happens here all the time. I mean, we're very receptive to that. We're busy. We're caught up in the day-to-day, and, yeah, we're trying to think out of the box and think ahead and plan future events and exhibitions and all these different things. But many of our opportunities have come from just that very scenario, where either an artist or a collector or someone just walks through the door and said, I've got a great idea. I mean, look what happened last year with the Stobart painting in the USO to Benedict Wounded Vets. I mean, it was an idea to paint a painting to help these injured men and women at Walter Reed. And, you know, next thing you know, a year later, Stobart's painted a painting that sold for $1 million. So, right. It all starts with an idea. So.
Yeah. And you never know where that next great nugget of information or that idea is going to come from. And So always just toss them out. I mean, what's the worst thing that you guys could say? That's,
not a good fit, right.
Right, so. Yeah. So, and then, you know, maybe you decide to do that one outside your gallery on your own with your friends or something. You know, right. There's certainly, we're going to get into a little bit here. This is kind of a great segue into the next question, which we're going to talk about the contract that's created between the artist and the gallery. Which is so important, and I know that you had said when we were in the green room that this one's kind of lengthy, but it is lengthy because it is important. So
Right. Listeners,
get your pens ready because we're going to talk about what the contract should read and what it should say and things like that here in a second. But and I guess my question to that point was, you know, just because I'm in Isley doesn't stop me from showing my work, but it certainly does stop me from underpricing my gallery. So I know there's also a thing that's in there about if I do sell outside the gallery, is there an expectation that I, you know, give my 50% commission back to you? So that's all part of the contract as far as I'm concerned. So let's get into these contract things. What should a good contract spell out?
Okay. Well, a good contract should protect everyone's interest. It shouldn't be one-sided, and it shouldn't lean, you know, in favor of one party or the other. I mean, the whole point is to go in, you know, nobody goes into a relationship or a partnership with the thought of, it not working out. So, it's important that, you know, everything be considered upfront, talked about and agreed to that benefits both parties. So, you know, generally contracts go over and they encompass the basic terms, you know, any obligations, considerations, and conditions that should be discussed and agreed to up front by the artist and the gallery before they enter into a relationship. It's important to have everything in writing and signed by both parties. It's far better to have that than a verbal agreement or worse, just winging it and seeing what happens. There's some galleries and a lot of artists are used to that, and it's certainly not in their best interest to conduct their business affairs with their work like that. An artist gallery contract agreement relationship or arrangement should include a lot of different things, and that's what we want to get into here. For all the different aspects that need to be considered and agreed to and put in writing. First and foremost would be how long will the agreement be in effect? In other words, how long will the gallery be representing you and your art? If the relationship is fairly new, typically 6 months to a year is standard. You know, after that, then a contract can be discussed and renegotiated in terms of time frame. And you want to know if you can, you know, have an escape clause. For example, if nothing's selling over a certain period of time that's been predetermined, maybe like 6 months, is there an arrangement that has been worked out ahead of time where either party has the right to terminate the contract or terminate the relationship? So an escape clause is important to have in any contract. Next, you know, what will your representation consist of? You know, will it include all of your art or just specific works or bodies of work? You know, I guess, you know, if the relationship is fairly new and it's untested and there's been no experience, it's oftentimes better that the gallery doesn't necessarily have control over all your work. You know, you want to sort of specify which areas of your work you want that specific gallery to represent. And oftentimes that's based, you know, on geographical area, their client base, what they focus on, and what some of their specialties are. And you want to talk about, you know, their market area. You know, is it within 50 miles of, you know, whether you want to be represented in any other galleries? You know, will the gallery allow you to be represented by another gallery within a certain radius of their gallery, you know, within 50 or 100 miles or more? You know, I think now, and the issue of exclusivity is not what it used to be. I mean, it's still there, and I think it's still somewhat important within a certain area. You know, certainly in the last 5 to 8 years, with the changes in the economy and the period of slow sale art sales, you know, galleries just really have, there are no guarantees, and we can't really guarantee results to an artist, and we certainly understand the artists need to make a living and to be able to sell their work, and they have to do some things that are different. So at least in our gallery, the consideration to exclusivity has become a little more laxed in the last 5 or 6 years than it used to be. Doesn't mean we want an artist that we represent showing their work in a gallery that's blocks from us or in the same general city, but we certainly are much more laxed in allowing artists to show their work in Louisville or Lexington or Dayton or just, you know, outside the general Cincinnati area. And I think that's changed. I think artists used to require, you know, those considerations were a little more stringent years ago. So, you know, I think it's important that, you know, you just want to start out slow and see how things go. And then, you know, assuming that they go reasonably well, then you can gradually expand the parameters of the agreement. You know, I think it's important for any artist, you know, not to bring everything they have. Don't start a gallery off with 50 works. You know, start out with, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 and see how things go. Let's see. You want to know and talk about whether or not the relationship with the gallery will have any effect on any marketing efforts that you currently have in place with respect, for example, to a website. You know, and what impact that might have. You know, I mean, for example, will you have to